Genesis. What chapter did we spend a lot of time in last week? What I'm writing up here is, in case you can't see it because I'm standing in the way, the Bible record does not sanitize many of its, or any of the characters. And their behavior. We could see that in chapter 38. We're going along, introduced to Joseph. All of a sudden we get to chapter 38, boom. And we're talking about Judah. And it's not the fact that Judah won an Olympic race or threw the winning touchdown or became king over some great country. It's Judah committing fornication, correct? His wife is dead, but he goes out and what he's doing going to a harlot, that question came up quite a bit last week. And it doesn't give us the answer. It's just recording the decisions, choices, and consequences that some of these characters make. Some are righteous and faithful, like Abraham, even though it doesn't pass over some of the things Abraham did that were wrong, correct? I mean, Abraham, it records Abraham lying how many times? That's recorded. Lying about his wife. Bible record does not sanitize the characters and their behavior. Which, this may be an odd thought, is support in some ways for the inspiration of the scriptures. Now, how could that be? Who would? If we were writing the record, we human beings would do it differently. Yeah, we would hide a lot of this flaws. Yes, we would. We'd hide, and Facebook. We'd do like we write on Facebook. Right.
You don't know the people personally, it can give you the sense that everything in their life is golden. Why is mine so difficult?
Yeah, it's our approach is different than the Lord's approach in many, which I've been trying to highlight, attempting to highlight in things like Jacob getting the birthright. The blessing instead of Esau. We'll see Ephraim getting the blessing from Jacob. Think about the ancient kings from back in that time. Now, Egypt here is about one of the first and biggest major powerhouses. But as you go in on, as you move along on the timeline, we're going to find out that other ancient civilizations arise, and those kings, when they recorded anything about themselves? Did they record all their faults and all their sins? And of course, many of these kings may have recorded things they engaged in which were sin and they didn't care because they were ungodly. But what did most of the ancient kings record? They bragged about their conquests, yeah. So here you have a record which we call the Bible, which does not sanitize many of its characters and their behavior. I want to just highlight that. Keep that in the back of your mind as we go through, and we hit that and saw a great illustration of that last week in chapter 38. And then we moved into Joseph. And Joseph is kind of interesting, in the, well, very interesting, but there's some couple of viewpoints which you can agree with both of them, or you can disagree with both of them, or hold the one, or throw out the other, or come up with your own. There is a viewpoint that there is a lot of resemblance and similarities. Some people might even use the word foreshadowing in the life of Joseph compared to Jesus the Christ. The other viewpoint is all of that similarity is just coincidental. I find it kind of hard to be coincidental. You say, Givens, give me an example. If we go to chapter 37, chapter 37, 14. Then he said to him, go now. This is, well, let's go up to 13. Joseph's brothers are pasturing their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. And he said, I will go. Then he said to him, go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock and bring word back to me. So he sent them from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now, it's interesting. The word Hebron, now that's near the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham bought those caves for burial. That's the only, besides Shechem, Jacob now owns some land in Shechem, which is probably where they're pasturing their flocks. But there's a toehold here in Hebron. That's south of Jerusalem. And Hebron means, the word means friend or alliance. I've also heard the word fellowship. So here Joseph is in the area of fellowship with his father, and his father sends him to his brothers. Is that a picture of anything that's going to take place later down the timeline? Lysander says, yeah. Who left his father's fellowship and went to his brothers, meaning mankind? Mosander. Thank you. And he was rejected by his brothers as well. That's correct. So as we've already last week moved into Joseph's life all the way down into Egypt. But that's one example. So keep an eye out for examples like that. Similarities, resemblances, maybe even foreshadowing in some ways. So 39, we as a class summarized chapter 39. How many of these phrases did you find in chapter 39? The Lord was with him. Now his master, this would be Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him. Then the Potiphar's wife ends up getting him thrown in jail. We're talking about Joseph here. Chapter 39, 21. He's in jail, imprisoned. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. You drop down to 23. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because what? The Lord was with him. That's three times in that one chapter, and I may have missed some. The Lord blessed the Potiphar's house in verse 5 because Joseph was with Potiphar. See the ripple effect of the Lord being with somebody? Now, this phrase here, I think we toss it around. In my lifetime, I've tossed it around a lot. And so I guess it can get to where it's just kind of superficial, not a lot of meaning and depth to it. But what does it mean in this context? It's just the Lord's, Jehovah's presence was nearby, which would be a great thing, just the Lord's presence, but protected, prospered. And as we move along in this story, doors are going to open, doors might close. Is Joseph going to follow divine breadcrumbs? I don't know, people. Do you believe in that today, that the Lord has the power? We use the word providence, which often is the word applied to Joseph's story. That's just God providing. I have no problem with that, but how does providence work its way? What backs up providence? It's God's wisdom, God's power, God's presence, purpose. There's a whole lot of things. Maybe that's why we use the word providence. I often use power because the scriptures use power, especially in the New Testament, use power a lot. Laverne, or was it Gail? It was you. And there's another, and sadly, what Laverne just said, I think, I'm just taking my years of experience, there's many people in God's family that would disagree with Laverne and say she's nuts.
Yeah, I am, but I still believe it.
Yeah, that could be. The faith is involved in a lot of what we're talking about here. And a comeback might be, well, how do you know? You know, how do you know God was doing that? Yeah, I think faith has to be a big part of it. So Laverne, she's talking about following the breadcrumbs, right? Yeah. Doors opening and closing, that's another one.
Well, I was making plans to leave this base coast.
Laverne's giving an illustration right here.
Okay, I was making plans to go back to Arkansas to go take care of my sick mother because I lost my job and I'm getting out of here. And about that time, shortly thereafter, my daughter needed me here to help her. So I said, okay, this is what I have to do. Because there was plenty of people back there to take care of my mother.
Uh-huh.
But she had no one to help her.
Again, another response is, well, yeah, God's doing this and he's working in Joseph's life because he has a plan for Joseph, because he's going to bring down the family into Egypt, and that family is going to grow and multiply, which is going to fulfill the promise to Abraham that there'd be a great nation. They're going to be a great nation there in Egypt, and they're going to come out, and he's going to bring them to the promised land. When they're in the promised land, the Lord's going to come. This is all because it's in God's plan to bring about the Christ, and God's just working with those people in that way, and that's just his power working with them. And now we're in his kingdom, but he's not going to work with us the way he did then, because he had a purpose for them to bring about the Christ, and Christ is already here, and it's not necessary. It's not necessary to work in our lives. Moms? Remember, this is our family album we're dealing with, and we've got this going on here. Flawed, desanitized people, human beings. Mitch? Yeah, even if we make bad decisions, he has the power to work those things out for good if we're continually seeking him. The seeking idea has to be in here all along. It'd be a great study. Maybe we should do this summer on Wednesday night, is looking at the concept of seeking him, continually seeking. Lysander and Ted? Yep. Can you hand that to Lysander? I don't know if he got that. Well, let's keep working with good thought, Lysander, and I appreciate your input, Laverne, because I think what Laverne's talking about, we need to keep thinking about in terms of, is there any, since this is our family album, does God do this with us today? And is this involved? And where's the word faith? His power working with our faith. Keep these in mind as we go through Joseph. So, Lysander, I'm glad you brought us back to Joseph there. In chapter 40, he's right here in a pit, right? This is literally death, really. I don't know if these guys expected to get out of there or not. And he's in there a while. I don't think it tells us how long, but once somebody, I've picked on people before. Who would like to summarize chapter 30 or chapter 40? Who'd like to summarize chapter 40? And while somebody's getting the courage to do that, Ted, you kind of had a thought there rolling around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and often we limit it to things that we do. God opening, closing doors on things. What should I do? What decision should I make here doing this? We need to think about, does God assist us and help us in relationships, in dealing with one another, and maybe it's with a mother-in-law. I'm not speaking from experience. I love my mother-in-law. She's not here, so we'll just use an example of mother-in-law. Or a neighbor, or a coworker, and you're struggling, or a boss, you're struggling with how to. There's some tension for some reason or other, and you're struggling with how to word things and handle things and what approach to make with them. And that's often, I know I've failed over the past 25, 30 years being out in the workforce and raising a family, not taking certain things like that to God in prayer. Some I have, and some I've failed in doing that. The ones I have, I can look back and see, wow, the way I worded that, I don't know where that came from, but it worked, you know, because I wasn't thinking about it beforehand, and up until the moment or later on, I thought of a better way to say something, and I was able to go back and patch it up, you know, things like that. Often we limit God's power to protect the traveling and heal the sick. So just keep this in mind as we go through Joseph. And I still need a volunteer on chapter 41. Who wants to tell me? Steve? 40. Or 40, yeah. What happened there? Yeah. Since I volunteered you. Uh-huh. By the cupbearer, or it's butler, if you want to use that word. So, victim. So he becomes a victim of ingratitude or neglect. He was neglected. How long was he in prison, Steve? I think it tells. After that, it was about 2 years. How long he was in there up to that point, I don't know. But he's down here. Many people have a very sour, rotten, ugly attitude down here, right? What in the world? All I did was tell my brothers a dream. They threw me in a pit. Then, oh, wow, this is great. I'm working for this guy here. And then his wife's pestering me. Boom, I put her aside. I avoided her all that I could. And yet I still end up in prison because she lied about me. Unfair. Now, do you hear Joseph talking that way through the text? I'm verbalizing what many people, maybe even believers in Christ's body, but especially worldly attitude. I'm verbalizing a worldly attitude. That's not Joseph's, correct? I had a hand over here first, Steve, and then over. Right, it is not as bad as it could have been. Yes. 21, the Lord was with Joseph, extended kindness to him, and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And I'm assuming that Joseph is using the capabilities and the personality and the abilities that God gave him to gain this favor. In other words, I don't see Joseph sitting in a chair or on the floor and just waiting for the Lord to put some kind of a glowing favor around him so that the chief jailer says, oh, the Lord is with this guy because he has this glowing aura around him. You see what I mean? I think Joseph used his abilities and talents and whatever he had, and the Lord helped him with that. You say, how? I don't know. This is one verse. It just says it gave him favor in the sight of the jailer. Well, how did he do that? I don't know the specifics, but the Lord did. And I just know, even though it doesn't tell us, that Joseph wasn't sitting in the corner. Joseph was being productive, and the Lord helped him with that, and the jailer saw that. Laverne.
When you think something bad has happened to us,
yes.
Don't
right. Yeah, and even thank him for it.
Yes.
Joyce says that a lot. Mama Joyce, over the years, thank God for this trial, burden, difficulty, hardship, whatever. Yeah, thank you. That's great. So here he's a victim. I'm using the word victim on purpose. See, last week we had victim of hatred and jealousy, victim of lies, because that is a popular word in our society today, isn't it? Victim, victim, victim. Well, Joseph was a victim, but he didn't react and use that to get a lot of attention or woe is me and all that kind of thing that we see people trying to get today out of it. You stretching, Ted, or you have a comment? Huh?
Yeah, just
you're right. Often, yep, often. Is that the case here? No. Joseph did what was right, and he still ended up in these pits, as we're calling them. Being a victim. Yeah. Yeah. All righty. 41. So the cupbearer did not remember Joseph. So we move into 41, and somebody else has a dream, a couple of dreams. Pharaoh. Carm, have you read this chapter recently? You want to summarize 41? What goes on there?
Pharaoh has a dream. His first dream is seven gaunt cows, skinny thin cows, or fat cows come out first, and then the thin cows come, they eat the fatted cows, and then
right. 7 years of plenty. Yeah, Pharaoh says, we need to come up with or Joseph is saying, you need to appoint somebody to manage all of this, right, Carm? And what does Pharaoh say? Yeah, can we find a man like this? Verse 38, chapter 41, in whom is a divine spirit? Now, okay, let's highlight, thank you, Carm, for summarizing that. Let's highlight back in 14, Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. And in 15, he said, I had a dream. No one can interpret it, but it is said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And Joseph said, this is 16, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Does that say anything about Joseph's character here? Does it say anything about this? Faith? Trust? God. And, oh, there's another word. It starts with an H.
Humility.
Huh?
humble. Humility, that's right.
How easy would it be to just let that just pass by? Here he's bringing this up to Pharaoh himself, leader of the world, pretty much, great empire. So Pharaoh spoke to Joseph. Actually, Egypt's probably in its in its infancy in many ways, but still, this is a. You got to be careful what you say in front of a guy like Pharaoh. And if he interprets, you know, Joseph could have, just with this explanation that Carm reiterated, Pharaoh could have said, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard. You're an idiot. Back in jail you go. Back to here. But it made sense to him because no one else was coming up with anything. But I wanted to highlight verse 16, and you let me know if you see, here it is in 28. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. In verse 32, now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God and God will quickly bring it about. Now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise. So Pharaoh does. And he appoints Joseph. So here we go. Oh, where's my pins? Oh, it's up here. Here we go. We're on the upswing from a human standpoint anyway. You know, from a human standpoint, being in charge of Potiphar's house and now being second in command over Egypt, a little higher. Oh, any literalists? Okay, got my literalists here in the class. A little higher, running out of room. Second in command. Now that, okay, we won't do a downswing yet. This here and this here, from a worldly standpoint, those are good things in life, but, you know, in our lives when we have these highs like this, that can be danger time, right? That can be, just because these things are good in our eyes doesn't mean it's the best for us, and yet God does bless, and this was a blessing, and now this is a blessing, and in this life, Joseph's life, he's obviously, as we know the story, he's bringing it about for a purpose. And Joseph is going to say that to his brothers. He's going to say, when I was telling you those dreams back there and you threw me in the pit, you meant it for evil, but God has meant it for boop, boop, boop. For what? For good. So here we are up on an upswing there. Does this remind you of anybody farther down the timeline? In death, and then raised up to sit at the right hand of God. Who ended up doing that? Jesus. That's right. So here we go. And there's going to be a great plentiful harvest for 7 years. And Joseph is going to, what's his approach? He's going to store it up. And then when the 7 years of famine hit, Joseph is going to provide bread, sustenance. Who does that remind you of? Who's the bread of life in the New Testament? Jesus again, yeah. You say, Givens, this is too simple. Well, I don't know if we think about those comparisons sometimes in regards to Joseph and Jesus. I know I hadn't given it a whole lot of thought. I think it's a little bit fascinating. But again, if you think it's just all coincidental, I'm not going to sit here and argue with it. I'll hand out something. Take one and pass this along. And just kind of chew on this a little bit. I have victim of power up here. How could Joseph be a victim of power? We might use the word test instead of. In many ways, all of these four victim categories are tests, aren't they? He was tested. He was tested by lying. He was lied about. That was a test. Tested with that temptation. Back here with Potiphar's wife. Up here, a test, even though he couldn't really do anything about it in that pit. He's here. This is definitely a test of power. How is it a test of power for Joseph? Steve?
Well,
power can corrupt. That's right. Yes, yeah. He did not live here. When he's in second in command, he's not living down here in prison. I'm sure he had a comfortable home. He was given a wife. He's got kids. A lot of things can go awry, haywire, when you're in this position here. Abraham Lincoln said, an ordinary man should be able to handle adversity in his life. The real test of a man's character is how he handles power. And Lincoln evidently treated the presidency with humility and caution. Because we all realize, and the Proverbs talk about this, Ecclesiastes especially, it's unwise to appoint a novice, a young person, in a high position. Why is that? Joseph's probably about 30 years old here. But generally speaking, putting a young person of 30 in a high position, why is that dangerous, Lysander? Or did you have another thought?
Well, yeah, I have another thought.
Okay, let's let the class answer that one. Big-headed?
No experience.
No experience, inexperience. Another word for big-headedness is pride. There's an E word. Three letters. Ego. Arrogant. Lack of knowledge. That's the experience and lack of knowledge. Yeah. Don't you know who you're talking to? I know what I'm doing. Sounds like Rehoboam in many ways. And he listened to other young men. It does. They ignore the idea that they're to humble themselves and serve others. I think guys like Lincoln had that idea.
We saw that a lot in the military because some instance coming out of college.
As an officer?
Yeah, an officer, young officer.
Yeah.
He's in charge, and he hasn't had any experience. He hasn't really got a clue what he's supposed to be doing, but he's won his job. So.
Yeah. Really, the military's hurting itself in doing that, really. Let's get Lysander and then Joe and then Laverne.
Well, going back to Joseph.
Yes.
You were talking about putting a young fellow in the
college. Yep. Right.
And then, you know, you fast forward to today, you know,
yeah, that's why it's important to soak ourselves in the Word and stay in the Word. Husbands and fathers have power to a certain extent over their families. They need to stay in the Word and learn how to use that and eat up Proverbs and eat up Ecclesiastes and read Nehemiah and learn how to be a loving leader. You're right, Lysander, because God guides us that way. You want to know the instruction book on that. There it is right there, Mo. Oh, wait a minute. Was it connected to Lysander's point there? Okay. Can you hang on to that? That thought, I promised Joe and then Laverne.
I was just going to say that Joseph brought the glory of God to
Right. At least two, three times there in that chapter. I think you're right. Totally different nut we're dealing with. Joseph is not a nut in the sense that our society uses. Totally different scenario here. And with God's people in the world today, that's what they should see. You know, it's light versus darkness. Your light set on the hill and shining. We should look different. And if we're believing in God's power, people ought to see that. Laverne and then Mo. Don't lose your thought. Yes. Yeah, when we read about the qualifications and qualities of elders, that comes out. Thank you.
My point was he was not really a novice because he was tested at Potiphar's house. He was in the dark.
Yeah.
He was in the dark. He could have abused that power, he could have done everything. Then when he went to prison, he was put over the prisoners.
Yep.
They put him in guard to the prisoners. So Joseph,
some growth going on here. See God's wisdom in that? Everybody hear Mo? There? He didn't go from here right to here. He's learning from this. He's learning from this. I hadn't spent a lot of time on that thought. That's good. God made him prominent. Yep, and probably because of his humility and his faith. Yeah, you weren't here in that class. We did highlight the fact that Joseph, out of all these accounts where we do have a lot of this going on, a lot of Judah type behavior, you don't find anything, any sin recorded about Joseph. Does that mean he was sinless? No, I don't think so, but. But anyway, we don't have anything recorded. If there's any faults, it might have been, you know, people do criticize him there telling those dreams, but I'm just not going to argue about it all day. So, it was, and that's going to come up. He's going to explain that to his brothers. Mo? Ted? Oh, it was Carm, then Ted. Yeah, I would agree with that too. There's probably things in here that Pharaoh noticed that probably aren't recorded that gave Pharaoh the idea, this guy believes in some God that's way beyond what we're worshiping down here in Egypt, as Joe pointed out. Mr. Givens?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And remind me, I don't know if you guys want to spend much time, guys and gals, want to spend much time next week in how he deals with his brothers, but when Jacob finally comes down to Egypt, there's an interesting verse in there that Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Did you ever come across that one? See if you can find that for next week. Jacob blesses Pharaoh. Not Joseph. Talking about Joseph's father, Jacob, bless his favor. There's a family that stands out, and they're standing out because of this here, trusting in the Lord's power. How did Joseph handle these injustices that we've got up here on the screen? He's exalted in power, and he still had what kind of attitude? Humility. And when we get to the story of his brothers, I trust you'll read them at home. It's fascinating chapters here. We'll just summarize it next week again. What type of attitude does he have towards his brothers? Vengeful, bitterness, forgiving. That's right. He could have had the attitude, I will never trust anyone again. He could have had that one, right? I'll never trust anyone. I listened to a story of a deacon in a local church who everybody liked this deacon and his wife, and he seemed to, as far as I can tell from the story, was a hard worker and everything, was starting to run into financial problems because he worked for a company which was going downhill, and they talked him into continuing to work for them. I guess the idea was until they got back on their feet, and they never did. They owed him 6 months back pay, and then one day they said, sorry, you're gone. They let him go. And he said, well, what about my back pay? And they didn't even say, I'm sorry, we're sorry, no apology. Let him go. Did not pay him that back pay. He never saw it. He stopped assembling with the local church he was with. Now, I realize that's not the most important part about a person's faith in God, but that's an indicator. He and his wife stopped going to church, as people say. And one Sunday night, half the church showed up on his porch, his front doorstep, and he wouldn't let them in. And so they just stood out there and sang praises and sang hymns until he finally came out and he hugged everyone. And the church ended up taking a collection, this particular local church, and they gave him $9,000. I don't know what his debt was or anything, but that's not $20. That helps. $9,000. And this deacon and his wife, they never did associate with the church, even after that. They couldn't understand why God allowed what happened to them to happen. It's so unfair the way God treated us. We don't want to serve a God like that.
So if they were not interested in learning the lesson that he was giving them, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Ungrateful?
What'd you say? This guy's faith was tested?
His faith wasn't in God.
Nope.
His faith
in yep. In things, in money, what? Yep. Yeah, a lot of Marthas even in men. Yep. You know, when something good happens to people, we never hear, how could a loving God allow this? Right? But when it's something bad, well, how could God have allowed that? Food for thought. All right, so read the rest of the Joseph story. And, yep. Yep. This example of the deacon? Yeah. Yep. Yep. Look, I think so. Not just one. So look over this double-sided sheet. Ted, what do you got there?
Oh, just an afterthought.
Yeah.
What did that inspector do that was so bad they had to be hung? Did he burn the biscuits?
He burned the biscuits.
He offended Pharaoh.
He what, Pharaoh?
Offended.
Yeah, I think it says that he offended him.
It says he offended. The cupbearer and the baker both offended Pharaoh.
By burning the biscuits. And the butler probably spilled the wine on him somehow. All right, class dismissed. Thanks. Bring this type of Christ back next week. Keep that with your notes.